Talking tonight with Miss Tiffany, or as people like to say, Tiffany J, with that J. Okay, yeah, all right. I don't know, I'm corny. But you actually seem to have quite a few thousand followers, which is really cool for, I mean, that's any musician's dream, I bet, to even be there.
My goal right now on Instagram in particular, I'm trying to get to the 10K. You get other features once you pass 10,000.
Like what?
For instance, in the Instagram story, you can add links, swipe up links in your story if you have over 10,000 followers.
Okay. How would features like that benefit you as a musician and a creative?
For instance, I can link people straight to like a music video, to Apple Music link, to my website, to wherever I want to link to on the web. I can link my story directly to it. The only place I can do that on Instagram is if I'm sponsoring a post. I can have a clickable click here on the actual post if I'm sponsoring or promoting something. But other than that, they have to do, the whole link in the bio, and I use Linktree for that.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. How did all this start for you as a musician?
I started in the music industry as a part of a group. I was in a gospel group for many years, and from there, we actually started a record label, independent record label, and I served as A&R for the record label. Time went on. We eventually started managing both musicians and actors and models, so we became more of an entertainment company. But as time progressed, the group that I was in, we weren't doing as much as we used to, and I still kind of had a passion for creating music, and I wanted to try, a solo lane. So I've been doing solo music as Tiffany J since 2012.
Oh wow, so you've been in the game for quite some time.
For a good bit. Be 10 years next year as a solo artist.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? 10 years.
Feel old.
You do not look old, miss. You look beautiful.
Thank you so
Look at
much.
you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I definitely can say that I can attest that things don't happen overnight, but I do see progress and growth, and I understand the importance of being consistent because you do see things happening if you stay consistent at it. You can't just, hope this is gonna happen for you if you put out this one project. It doesn't happen that way. So, it's been a long time. It doesn't feel like it's been that long. I will say that. However, I think I've done a lot of work in my 10 years. So I have a lot to show for the 10 years. I'll say that. I've been consistently working.
What was your first song like
My first song
about?
as a solo artist was actually called Flying Solo.
Oh,
It is funny because I didn't leave a group. The group just wasn't doing anything, so it kind of worked marketing wise for a person that was in a group go solo, and their first song was called Flying Solo. However, it wasn't a talking about leaving the group. It was talking about other situations in their life. But that was the first song I released as Tiffany J.
I mean, how was that experience though? Kind of that first song to get you out there.
It was different and lonely, I will say that, especially with studio sessions, because I was accustomed to having the group there and having other people there, but it was kind of like a solo ride. So it was definitely a learning experience. My role in the group, I kind of handle teaching parts musically. However, I didn't handle a lot of the communication business-wise with other people. So I kind of had to become that person too for myself. Making the business conversations and booking and just handling, booking studio time, talking to musicians and all that kind of stuff. So it was definitely a learning curve and learning experience.
Do you prefer, I mean, I know being a solo artist for this long, but was there anything about working as a group that working solo that you either lost or gained?
Working with the group than working solo, I definitely lost the ability to hide for a moment.
Yeah.
So singing in a group, everything isn't on you. Singing solo, you're in the spotlight the whole entire time. Like, you don't have a moment to breathe or rest in a performance, whereas in a group, you know, the limelight isn't on you technically the entire time. So I definitely lost the ability to just have unity amongst other people. However, solo-wise, I really got to tap into all sides of me creatively. That just opened more doors for me because I saw how many different things I was actually talented in that I didn't see before when I was only limited to, you know, one piece of the puzzle.
Like being an author?
Oh, yeah. Being an author. A lot of things have branched off since I became a solo music artist. So I became an author. I became a toy creator. I've written more and more songs. I was a songwriter, you know, with the group. However, my songwriting style wasn't so boxed in because I was in an actual gospel group. So everything was Christian based. So when I became a solo artist, I kind of branched out in genres, which allowed me to express myself a little bit more. So yeah, going solo just helped me tap into more creativity.
Now, you said that going, like working at a group, you were allowed to hide more.
I think I had very low self-esteem just in general growing up. And the group that I was in since I was 14 years old. I actually attempted to commit suicide at 12. So
really?
Yeah, my whole story is about overcoming depression and low self-esteem. So a lot of the things that I do branch off of me overcoming that and really finding myself and getting to a place where I'm unapologetically me. So a lot of the time I spent in the group, I was still discovering who I was. I wasn't as confident as I am now. So when I say I had the ability to hide, I was a little bit more shy than I am now. So it's kind of hard to compare me in the group to me today because I've evolved so much just as a human being, you know, from one place to the other. So I just wasn't as confident and sure about myself when I was in a group. I was never really bullied. That's one of the areas I target now with my Super Beauty campaign. But I wasn't necessarily bullied as a child. I just lacked confidence I didn't have a lot of friends. I just lacked confidence and I just knew I was different. Yeah. But I didn't have enough confidence to even put myself out there to other people. But nobody really came at me with a lot of jokes other than like overweight jokes. I've never been
with any girl. Okay.
But as far as like particulars, I've had one kid when I was in middle school pick at a mole I had on my face. But it didn't bother me to the point where it was like kind of hurtful in that way. I had a lot of internal self-esteem issues and kind of assuming what kids thought because I wasn't as small as other kids were. So that kind of thing. But I didn't have anybody just kind of picking at me all the time.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good that you haven't faced that and whole thing. I mean, when I was even growing up, because I mean, I'm autistic, but also like I was born with a enlarged head. So I've had people call me like Freddie Flintstone or Jimmy Neutron. So, I mean, I guess the whole thing is like when you're talking about having self-confidence, is that been because you mentioned that it's because you're more shy is like. Do you feel like there is something that you were hoping to work on, or at least you felt like, okay, I need to build confidence off of this thing, like besides singing?
No, I just wasn't really comfortable with myself. And I think that's where it started, especially with my weight. So I think around like the second grade, I ended up with pneumonia and asthma. And from what I'm told, when I got on the inhaler, it kind of made me gain a lot of weight. So from like 8 years old, I've always been kind of chubby and a little bit bigger. And I knew that I could see that I was physically bigger than most of my peers. I wasn't looking back at pictures and stuff. I wasn't as big as I thought, but I knew I was chubby. So I wasn't comfortable with myself. And I assumed that me being uncomfortable with myself, other kids wouldn't accept me. So I kind of made a decision for them with separating myself because I knew I was different. I went on to have lower self-esteem going through school, especially when I got to middle school and high school, because I didn't really get approached by, I didn't have like little boyfriends at school. Like guys didn't come to me or guys didn't like me. So I kind of started saying, well, maybe something's wrong with me because nobody's asking me to, you know, to the dance, or nobody's asking me to go to the prom, and nobody's asking for my phone number. So I kind of attached this ugly label to myself. So I kind of thought I was ugly. I thought I was fat. I knew I was smart, and I felt like all the kids that actually became my friends were only becoming my friends because I was smart and they needed help with schoolwork. So I didn't really have friends that I hung out with outside of school. So it was just a mixture of things. I just didn't have kids like literally pick at me, you know, bully me in that perspective. But I kind of could see the groups and cliques that kids formed, and the cliques didn't include anybody that was like me. So I just kind of separated myself and was really a loner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how are you feeling like now with yourself? Like
today, today I'm like, I'm super confident. Like there, and I kind of help kids and people find themselves and start to love themselves. That's just something a part of what I do now. But I'm overly confident. I'm not arrogant or cocky or conceited in any way, but I know who I am. And I walk in that proud. So I'm very bold. I'm very sure about who I am now. So I'm completely different. I don't want to say opposite because I've always been who I am. But it's been a total 360 from my lowest days of low self-esteem to now, because I don't have low self-esteem at all. I have some insecurities, but they aren't insecure in a way where I'm depressed about what I look like or anything like that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really sure and confident in who I am now.
And so is that what inspired Super Beauty?
Oh, definitely. Super Beauty is basically, I made her in the likeness of me as a little girl, but she embodies who I am now. So she's the kid. If I was me when I was a child, that's who Super Beauty is. I wish I could have been her, that's confident and help other kids feel like they're confident. If they're different, you know, differences make us unique. So the Super Beauty brand was definitely inspired from me just becoming who I am, knowing that that little girl is needed with kids today.
Yeah, I'm seeing like where you even have like a mascot occasionally. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that is probably really cute. Like kids going up to
high fives and hugs and all that. Boys too. So I created the character Handsome Hero after I created Super Beauty, because I didn't know that boys would be, you know, coming up to her and want hugs and high fives just as much as the girls did. So I was like, let me create a boy character who is her twin brother. I don't have a mascot for him yet, but it's my plan to get one before the end of this year so that I can have both characters out at events. When we get back really into the world, we still kind of shut down, but when we get full-fledged back into schools and things, I want to have both mascots.
Yeah, I mean, I think like boys would be fine. I mean, once they hit puberty and become teenagers or adults, that might be a different story, because I mean, I'm not stereotyping men, but there is a lot of men who are well, you know what, so I think that something, I mean, just what you're doing in general, just kind of loving yourself and even with your music, because I listened to your more recent songs, like Secure the Bag, which you did, you filmed like during COVID-19, which, I mean, that's an interesting thing to do.
Yeah, I actually just released the music video for that 2 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, how was that to be making music and music videos under COVID-19?
Wow. So I also did a docu-concert film that was filmed throughout the whole pandemic. I think the pandemic, COVID was tough on me mentally. I'm So I'm a sole entrepreneur. I do graphic design full time. That's my oldest business. I do graphic design. And with the world shutting down, a lot of my clients are small businesses, and small businesses got shut down. And because my clients got shut down, like, they're not coming to me for anything because they don't need anything because they don't have money.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I lost a lot of work with the Super Beauty brand. School shut down, so we weren't going back to schools or anything. So I kind of indulged into music. Music is what kind of kept me sane. Kept me just going. Music has always been like healing for me and something I use to express myself. So the fact that I did so much music during COVID is both surprising and not surprising to me, because I know I'm gifted in music, but I know music has always been my first love. So it's surprising that I made so many moves music-wise during COVID, because resources weren't available that I would normally have, but somehow I still made stuff happen. So if I look back just at COVID from last March, I released, including Secure the Bag that just came out, I released 3 music videos, plus did 4 live stream concerts, a docu-concert series that includes 22 of my songs, and I had a movie premiere for that back in March. So I did a lot music-wise and released a whole nother song. I released a single last Juneteenth. So I did a lot of music during the pandemic, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you're an amazing singer, like, just listening to her voice. So you mentioned gospel. Like, I definitely hear that.
Yeah,
I mean, you just have a very like strong, like soothing melody. With just that. I mean, especially if you even add that with instruments, or whether it's sort of composition you put for each of your songs. Because I know, like, I mean, everybody has a different production, or some artists, they work with a production crew who handles like all of the instruments or additional sound for each of, like, they'll be the vocalist and then you have assistant producer. I'm not sure if that's your setup, but
it varies.
It varies.
I have certain producers I work with. So when I write a song, I'll write it and I'll arrange it. And then depending on whoever the producer is, they kind of make the music around what I've already created melodically. With vocals. Sometimes we bring in additional musicians for different parts. It just kind of depends on the feel of the song. With my last album that came out in 2019, instead of using like one production team for the whole album, I used different producers for several of the songs because I wanted more hands-on control over the whole project, and I didn't want to just stick with one sound for the whole thing. So it just kind of depends. It varies.
What was your favorite music production?
My favorite music production
so far,
as far as the song goes.
Well, I mean, being here for almost 10 years, you must have a favorite moment in your career.
Oh wow, just favorite moment. So my mentor is Angie Stone, and she came, well, she's from where I'm from, and about 2 years ago she came home and did a concert. And she saw me before the show and she was like, yeah, I'm gonna call you on stage when I go perform. So I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, I'm just like, she just talking. So when she started singing her song, Brother, she literally called me up on stage during the concert for me to perform the song with her song with her. And I think that was just super amazing. Because I wasn't already an artist. I had actually already performed on that same show as an opener for, it was like a convention for women. But I had performed early in the day. So I had already been on stage and everything, but for her to like literally share that moment with me as an independent artist, and she's like the major artist of the day, that was super cool. That was super cool. I have several like moments that were like, oh man, but I would probably say that one takes the cake.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure you had a lot of great moments just working on music and working with others, or at least on the songs that you want to make. Just like, if there's that moment that made you think, well, I'm just happy to do this.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of fun shooting my music videos. I will say that because I literally come up with the concepts for them. So having a concept and then seeing it come to life, even though everything didn't work as it's supposed to be, those are always good moments for me. I just like to create. So I do all of my graphics. I do my website stuff. So I'm really hands-on in my career, whereas most people kind of only stick with, they just sing. I'm a songwriter too. So, you know, I've just been really hands-on with my whole career. So I just like creating, and I like starting something and finishing. I don't like starting something and just letting it go. I like to see things to the finish line.
And is this you, like, because I've interviewed many artists and some of them, this is their career, this is their paying job, or they are making music, and as you also said, you know, running this nonprofit or like whatever you want to consider it with Sir Beauty, and then also being an author, that's, I mean, adding another thing,
right?
Is all do you make a living out of all this, or do you have another job to kind of keep you or keep you up while you're able to do these other things on the side?
Right, so my main source of income has been graphic design.
Okay.
But I'm solely self-employed. So I've owned that business for 12 years. And I've been solely an entrepreneur for 10. However, because I'm in the seat I am in as an entrepreneur with graphic design, it allows me to do the music and the Super Beauty things as I need to. I make money from those things, but I'm able to invest a lot into myself on those brand sides, because I have a lenient schedule with my full-time career of being an entrepreneur. So everything kind of ties together. However, I put more money into my music and into my music than anything, because I'm always creating something. I have an idea for this project. So money comes in, but I invest more. I kick out more right now, music wise, than bring in.
Have you ever had a moment where you're like, oh man, do I have enough money for this? Or
all the time, especially with live shows when we were, you know, pre-COVID, you kind of depend on ticket sales to cover all the costs for everything. So when ticket sales are slow and you don't know how many people come to the show, you still have to pay the band, still have to pay sound person, still have to pay for the venue. There are times where I just have to go get the money from, you know, personal funds, and then just hope that the show covers, you know, the expenses. If not, you know, I'm taking a loss. But there are several moments like that. But I wouldn't trade them because I love what I do.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would figure just that, you know, everyone has the dream of doing what they love and just keep doing that. But I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, money is still a factor to a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
With the vaccinations coming in and cases, I don't know if cases are coming down over to where you live, like how COVID is currently, but best case scenario, and everything is going to be back to normal, do you feel more confident in these live shows, doing things live, or I mean, not live shows and live stream, but like having in-person show? Yeah.
So I'm actually creative director for another brand called Seven Sunday, and we actually host live shows. COVID, of course, shut that down. However, last month, we went back to our in-person shows. We actually have a TV show, and we're doing live tapings for the TV show. And our next show is Sunday. So we're back with an audience of, you know, over 100 people. So we've just been very careful to make sure our guests have on masks while they're not eating and things like that. We're just real strict with the rules. However, we've been very careful as far as making sure people social distance and things like that. So I'm comfortable with being in audiences. However, I wouldn't be doing that every day of the week. I'll make sure procedures are in place, especially if I'm going to somebody else's event, because I want to make sure that they are following safety guidelines, because I unfortunately had an aunt pass from COVID in August. So it has really hit me personally how the disease has impacted, you know, America, because I saw somebody on a ventilator for 5 weeks. So I definitely take safety precautions. I did get vaccinated. So I did get my vaccination. However, I'm still walking around wearing my mask regardless if it's approved or not.
So then this is right now, because this just happened here in Texas. I mean, people have mixed feelings. People who never been to Texas, they have mixed feelings of Texas because of the governors. And I don't think everybody in Texas is that bad. And I mean, I've been with great people around here, but it cannot be denied that we do not have great leaders. And our governor actually just signed a bill prohibiting any business from requiring masks or vaccinations whatsoever. Say that happens over to your place, how would you feel about these? Like, what would be your next course of action if that ever comes your way?
So you said he signed a bill that said to prohibit masks and vaccinations?
It prohibits businesses from turning people away who are not wearing masks and are not vaccinated.
Yeah, that, to me, that's a bit much, especially because I run a business. And if I feel like to come into my place of business, you have to have on a mask, and that's my rule, I don't feel like the governor should be able to trump that. With what's going on, I understand pre-COVID, of course, we weren't dealing with this, but if the numbers are still high, that's just sticky. That's a sticky top subject.
Yeah, numbers are kind of going lower, though. That's the thing, is I'm just kind of back and forth on what I feel about that. But it does make me think about those business owners that are trying to keep those precautions up, and now you have the governor saying stop doing that.
Right. We've had some instances like that here, actually, because our governor took away the mask ordinance in certain parts. Was it the governor? Or I think it was the governor. But like our city officials kept it in place. So we would have people going into stores saying, well, the governor said we didn't have to wear it. But they're like, well, you in the city limits of this city. So it still applies here. We don't care what the governor says. So I think that stuff will still trump in those smaller jurisdictions if the jurisdictions have those type of ordinances where they can make those decisions. So that's just kind of tricky.
Yeah, I mean, I know, because I mean, you deserve to live your fullest, and I mean, being with the success you have with all this, I mean, how do you even juggle that? Music, your graphic design job, being an author, running this charity, that's a lot.
It is a lot, but being an entrepreneur solely, if I had a 9-to-5, it would probably feel like more. But because I'm an entrepreneur solely, my schedule is a lot more flexible than most people. And I don't necessarily do every title. I don't serve every day. So I try my best to organize my time to where I'm spending it on what needs to be spent on at the moment. But however, it is a lot. I definitely have a team that helps me in areas, especially when I'm doing events or filming videos and things like that. So all of it doesn't fall on me. However, I keep a busy schedule.
Oh, and by the way, being a model, because I mean, I have to kind of reinstate how pretty you are. I mean, like, even on your Instagram, like, this is you. Like, sorry. I forgot this is my own camera, but yeah, like, you are a good model. Like, yeah, look at you. I was like, Now, I don't know if you heard of this term. This is mainly for people who are like nerds and anime geeks. But if someone finds someone in like attractive, they'll quote a simp for them. And
what for?
Simp.
A simp?
Yeah, no, a simp. S-I-M-P.
Oh, simps. Okay.
Yeah. Is they anybody said, oh, I'm simping for you, Tiffany J.
Absolutely not. I've never heard that before.
Give it time. You can have the origin story where people call you ugly at school, and then next thing you know, current you, people are like, oh my gosh, it's Tiffany J.
I get that. Yeah. I get that now. However, a lot of that comes with, because especially where I'm from, everybody knows who I am, just about. Okay. So it's like I'm a local celebrity. I don't really like that term, but a lot of people know me. More people, it's like the who's who in the city know me. Even if the regular people, regular residents don't know me, like the people like the city council, they know me. So people always jokingly say, not saying they're making a joke, but they'll joke and be like, no, that's Tiffany J. You know, that's Tiffany J coming in the room. So I get stuff like that all the time. However, I'm real down to earth, so I'm approachable. But it's funny how things that kids pick at, adults or men find attractive. And it's funny to me, like some of the things that I had low self-esteem about as a kid that I still have now, men like. And it's just so funny. Yeah.
No, I've seen, like, you know, it's, I've been surrounded by so many different communities, so I'm exposed to so much. But I mean, according to those men like what they call thick. They like,
right.
Like back in the day, everybody was wanting somebody to be skinny, and they wanted, right, like, be all skin and bones. And now people want like big booties and boobs and all that. So which, you know, I try to be like as family friendly as possible, which that can always be difficult when you hang out with people who are very much adult rated. Uh-huh. But I just think that this sort of growth for you, and hoping that people still see you, and it's not just because of your songs or like the work you put in. Right. They really like you.
Right.
Has there been someone who picked on you as a kid, and then later they came up and go, oh my gosh, what am I saying? I got some dandelions for you. Do you like dandelions? Do you like chocolate?
Well, absolutely not. I don't get that type of stuff at all. However, there are people, I can pinpoint people who didn't really fool with me in school that are like, oh yeah, but you know, they're cool with me now. But it's like I was a nobody in school. But if I was a nobody in school, how do you know me now? So, like, how do you remember me from school, but you didn't know me then? So it's funny how life changes and circles happen. But yeah, I can definitely see people who didn't mess with me or pay me any attention as a child. They know all about me now. So
yeah, already just with this the year being halfway done, we're in June, and there's of course 6 more months. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you got more plans and things that you want to accomplish through the rest of the year.
I actually have no goals written out other than
what?
I've really been chilling. I haven't been taking on many graphic design projects this year. It's just been a real stressful time for me. However, what I really want to make sure I do is relaunch my Super Beauty program back by the time school starts, because COVID like literally took that completely away. And that was something that really got me further than anything in my career, is my creation of Super Beauty. And with me being snatched away from schools, I really kind of just got in a down moment. So I'm hoping to relaunch that back by the time the next school year starts, August in the fall. So that's the only goal I really have for this year. Everything else I'm kind of just, as it comes, it comes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just like really excited for you because.
Thank you.
I mean, all the things that you've done and just kind of seeing this sort of self-confidence come out. Because I mean, there's a lot of subjects today regarding personal image, whether it be weight, height, race, sexuality, all of that.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I think this month we're in Pride.
Uh-huh.
Has there been a song that you've written that is based off of like your feel, like things that you want besides your first one, but has there been something where you're like, man, I just have thoughts that I want to get out and I want to put this into a music video and bring that out for other people to see?
I would have to say pretty much all of my songs are written like that.
Yeah.
I pretty much write music, especially the music that I release for myself. They are either written from my experiences or they are written about things I want to be experiences. I rarely write about things that I can't relate to or yeah. I don't want to relate to. So most of my stuff is, it's hard for me to say what's my favorite Tiffany J song, but I write a lot of songs that encourage people, like Climb. It's simply telling people, like, keep going. There's nowhere to go but up. Like, so I write a lot of songs that people cling to and find encouragement from. But at the same time, I write songs that just feel good, you know, feel good in the moment. Yeah. So I have a lot of songs that are written just because I want to get a feeling out.
But I mean, that I listened to a couple. I haven't listened to all of it, but I've listened to a few that you've put out. And I mean, just for all the talent that you have, like I think like your music is just something. If someone had a stressful day for just a random scenario, then like I would even think of your music as something that would calm them down. Like even if the subjects you speak of, I mean, regardless of what it is, just like the way you perform, it just is very relaxing.
Thank you. That's a good point.
Yeah. Or I mean, maybe there could be those guys who might go another step further. That is up to you, like what type of compliments you receive. Hopefully nothing weird. But I mean, hey, almost 10 years, you got so much time ahead of you that you never know what will happen next.
Right.
You might become a millionaire, live in a mansion, and not have to work ever again. Like, just never put out a single song.
That'd be nice.
Is, besides of what you have planned, I mean, at least what you currently want to focus on, what is probably something that you're looking at in the future for yourself and then for other people who want to be artists? Because this is 2021 and a year of so many things.
For myself, I would definitely like to see one song just really kind of make it for me, that gets wide popularity, to where it's not just my followers seeing it or the people connected to me and the people connected to them. I really want to see a song that really kind of pops and gets to major radio. That's probably one of my biggest goals. If not, I would love the opportunity to write for another a major artist because I absolutely love songwriting. So
yeah.
I'm willing to just write for people. I know people are probably looking for another album from me soon. However, I'm not sure when that will come. Right now, I would more so want to get back into live performing before I get back into the studio.
Okay. And, you know, just very lovely talking to you. I mean, you just, having this evening or afternoon and just, learning about you are just awesome. And you and your beautiful earrings, too, like those big heart earrings.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Where do people find your music?
So my music is on all social media. I'm not social media. My music is on all digital media platforms. So iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, pretty much wherever you go to buy or stream music, my music is there. So my name is Tiffany J, and there is one word, it's no space between Tiffany and J. So it's It's one word, Tiffany J. I have 3 projects, several singles. The Secure the Bag music video that I just released 2 days ago is actually music video number 14 for me. So I have 14 music videos out, a whole docu-concert film that's an hour and 40-something minutes long. So I have a whole bunch of material out that's pretty much available anywhere music is sold or streamed.
Yeah. And what about your book? If you, there's anything you want to say about it?
My books are available on Amazon and on my website, iamtiffanyj.com. So, well, my books are also on like Books A Million site, Barnes & Noble site. Pretty much all the digital retailers of books, my books are available.
Well, like, how do people find, like, do they look up Tiffany J or like, what's the name and all that?
Tiffany J is my author name as well.
Okay. And will they be able to find your books on Barnes and Noble if they go Tiffany J, or do they need to like type up the name? And if name, like what?
No, if you type in Tiffany J, you can find my books on Barnes and Noble, Books A Million, Amazon.
Okay.
Tiffany J is the author.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that I just want to make sure people can see it.
Yeah.
So
I'm real consistent about my brand name. I'm a stickler when people put a space in my name because it doesn't belong there. So I have the saying where I tell people I charge extra if you mess up my name. So
it's why?
Because I'm Tiffany J, no space. So
okay.
Space doesn't belong there, no period. Tiffany J is my name. That's the name I go by as a personality, as a musical artist, as an entrepreneur, as an author. So anything that I do falls up under the name Tiffany J.
What if someone was at Pizza Hut and they decided to just dose themselves with lots of caffeine and they were trying to type up your author name, and then just by accident they're like, Tiffany J, there you go. Isn't there a space? There are moments where I've had too much caffeine, but you never, what if it's on an accident, like someone just by mistake, like
when one I say space, charge extra, yeah. I'm more so talking about people that book me and put me on flyers. Like promote me as a brand and my name has a space in it. I don't share anything with my name on it wrong. And that's just being consistent with my brand. Yeah. Now, my legal name, my middle initial is J. So there are times where Tiffany Space J, you know, it makes sense. Like if I'm ordering pizza, I wouldn't call them and say this, you know, my name is Tiffany J. Order, and I'm gonna just say Tiffany. However, when it's dealing with my brand and anything that is being used to promote me as a person being a part of something, my name is Tiffany J. And if it's something I'm especially getting booked for, that's like a paid gig, you're getting an extra invoice if my name is wrong on the material, if you don't fix it. Because I'm always reach out to whomever and ask for my name to be corrected. However, if they don't fix it, then, you know, that's just my thing.
Well, I mean, what if the delivery guy comes up as like, you Tiffany J?
That doesn't have anything to do with my brand, though. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what if the pizza guy decides to, like, be a brand ambassador? Just out of nowhere. Like, I'm going to stop delivering Little Caesars, and I'm going to go work for Tiffany J. But I have a habit of accidentally pressing the space bar between Tiffany and J.
Well, that's the issue. It's a major issue.
A scenario that will probably not exist. But anyway, yeah. Pondspress is on all podcast hosting platforms of your choice. I mean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, all that. Facebook.com/Pondspress, Instagram.com/Pondspress, Twitter@ChasePond64, share video clips on Instagram and TikTok, both under Pondspress. Miss, I am just excited for what happens next for you. As I like to end these interviews just saying that is not the end, as in not a goodbye, but I am looking forward to seeing what else that comes up with you.
Right here. Appreciate it.
Till then, talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.